following Jesus. And I want to challenge you that as we look at this subject, that you would evaluate your walk with God and where you are and where your potential could be. Not only where you are today, but where you could be in Christ. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for again blessing us to be in the house of worship. We come today asking that you would lead us in the words that we shall share with the congregation. In everything that we do, God, you get the glory and the honor, for we are nothing of ourselves, but you have given us the Holy Spirit with power to guide us and direct us. And all we have to do is this one simple act, following you. We love you, God, for all that you've done. We pray that our lives will reflect the things of your kingdom. Thank you for that message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We love you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we think about the subject of following Jesus and what it means to follow Christ, a lot of people would simply think of the act of walking behind someone or following their teachings. But I believe that Jesus wants us to do more than just simply follow along as observers. He wants us to participate. And as we look at this cluster of scripture today that we have before us, Jesus said to them, and listen to what he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So now, not only do we have an action on our part that we need to commit to, that is to repent, but then we also have something that we need to look forward to, and that is the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? Now think about this. First of all, where you are geographically. We live in what we call the United States of America. You could be living somewhere else in the world. You could be living in a nation that doesn't enjoy all the things that we have. Granted, we don't have a perfect nation, but we have a good nation. So we look at it from the standpoint of where we are, but we also, if you look at this from the standpoint of where those people were when Jesus was speaking to them, they were under what we call Roman occupation, which meant you've got to abide by the rules of the Roman government. You've got to be under this system. Now, what they had been taught and what they believed is that they should have been under what we call a theocracy, which meant God was in control, not man. God was ruling, not man. God was blessing, not man. Man can only give you the extent of their ability. But God can give you unlimited blessing because he is God. So what Jesus was saying to them, I want you to change your mind, not just feel bad about where you are and who you are. I want you to change your mind and become a part of this kingdom of God. You're moving out of some place or somewhere or some lifestyle, and you're moving into something that is very real, that is so much needed. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't want to get personal, but I have lived in my own kingdom. I have done things my way. I've lived by my rules. And as Frank Sinatra would say, I did it my way. But how many know that when you do it your way, it doesn't end out too good or doesn't result in anything worthwhile? But when you do it God's way, even when it is difficult, even when it is challenging, even when you have to suffer through it, it always turns out a whole lot better than the way that you would have done it had you been under your own kingdom. So as we look at following Jesus, immediately after he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he turned to two of his disciples as he was traveling along, two of his potential disciples, and he said to them these words, follow me. Now think about that. Knowing that you've come from your own kingdom, Jesus said, now follow me and I will make you fishers of men. God is molding us into something that he would have us to be and someone that he would have us to become. If you are settled with where you are and what you're doing, you're going to miss the kingdom. You're going to miss it. You cannot come into the kingdom without God changing you, transforming you, and making you into what you cannot make of yourself. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What would be the impact if we said, well, you know what? I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do something else. What are going to be the impact? First of all, you're looking at a self-directed life. Self-directed. How many of you would allow a two-year-old to make decisions for themselves? In the spiritual realm, you are the equivalent of a two-year-old. No, let me make it a little bit. Let me paint a different picture. You are like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Let me tell you what sheep will do. And I'm not a sheep herder, so I don't know a lot about it. But what I've read about sheep is that a sheep will start grazing. And if a cliff is there at the edge, a sheep has no more sense than to keep grazing until it falls off the cliff. Some of y'all are falling off of stuff. You weren't paying attention, right? So when you start looking at self-directed lives, that's what you're looking at. That's the risk that you're taking if you say, I'm going to do it my way. Now, I want to bring you up with somebody. This guy was by the name of Job. Remember him? Amen. If I had the patience of Job. Job, even though he was very dedicated to God, his relationship with God was based on self-directed worship. Okay? So Job didn't know the deep things about walking through trouble with God. Now, it's not that he didn't believe God. No. Don't get me wrong. Job was a good man. But when he stumbled into trouble, he started asking questions like, why is God testing me? Help me, somebody. Because he was self-directed. He was self-directed. But now, if you go back and you look at Jesus, when Jesus walked into the wilderness, he wasn't asking God, why are you testing me? Why? Because he was not being self-directed. He was led by the Spirit. Everybody say, led by the Spirit. See, when you're led by the Spirit, you live your life differently. You can look up in the midst of a trial or a struggle and you can say, okay, God's got me here. He's getting ready to do something. God has me in this position. So rather than me complaining, grumbling, murmuring, thank God he brought me this far. Thank God he's keeping me. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can live your life self-directed. Or you can say, wait a minute, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to put all of my confidence in him. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get in the middle of a wilderness, you don't have time to draw your own map. And if God says, trust me, if Jesus said, follow me, if he says, now, I'm going to lead you, you stay up with me, all right? Stay close to me. How many of y'all been in a struggle? You prayed to God and the Lord said, okay, follow me. It was not the end of your struggle, but it was the end of your stumbling and looking for answers. Oh, I wish I had somebody that could see what I'm saying. When you leaned upon God and said, okay, God, I am going to trust you. It was no longer being self-directed. No longer self-directed. Now, the other one that we have is crowd-pleasing. And those are the multitudes. A whole lot of folk were following Jesus, but they were not committed to Jesus. You read about the multitude and how that they came and they brought their aching and hurting people. They brought the demon-possessed. They brought the sick. They brought all these people. And they even listened to Jesus talk. They heard him teach about the kingdom. But they didn't transfer that into becoming a follower. Oh, let me make this thing personal. You got a lot of people in the church who will worship. They'll even give their money. But when it comes to following, I ain't ready for that yet. And so what happens is you have people going from one bad outcome to another one. Going from one struggle to another one. Well, let me call on Jesus. Let me just pull Jesus out of the closet. Hello, Jesus. I got a problem here. Can you help me? Okay, thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Now I'm back. Or you could live your life as a crowd pleaser and simply say, well, what everybody else is doing. I used to wonder why my mama would say, well, if everybody else jump off the bridge, you going to jump off it too? Yeah, right. You know, and I wondered then, but now I know. Now I see the answer. Now I understand. You can live your life. You can fall into that trap, what we used to call peer pressure, fitting in, wanting to be a part of the group. You can live your life that way. But the question is, wherever the crowd goes, you go. So if the crowd ultimately jumps off a bridge, guess who's in the crowd? It's amazing what crowds and multitudes will do. The same crowd who later on in Matthew, we will find that they worship Jesus. They said, Hosanna to the King of Kings. And a few days later, same crowd, crucify. That's how quick it can change. Crowd mentality. Self-pleaser. Then the last group is Satan-possessed. And you don't want to go there. Trust me, you don't want to go there. But some of you do go there. It's not that you just have a bad thought in your mind. You begin to magnify that bad thought. Yeah, I know it's an attitude, and I ought not have this attitude. Let me tell you something. What you start doing when you fall into those frames of mind, you open the door to the devil feeding you. At first you felt some kind of way, now you just totally upset, and it's all based on some little small thing. But you let the devil get involved in it, and now he's magnified, all blown out of proportion. You can't control it. You wish you could dial it back. I sure do wish I could take back those words, but you can. Because now what has happened is what you had and what you were infected with, amen, the devil has now taken and infected somebody else. Come on now. If you don't believe it, watch what happens when you gossip. It can be a lie, but in order for a lie to be good, just repeat it. Especially if it's over somebody. Well, I never thought they would do that. And so there you go. Satan is now destroying. Because the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when Jesus beckons you, when Jesus calls you and says, come follow me. He's not telling you just come out of your mess. He's saying to you, I'm going to take you into the fullness of God's kingdom. I'm going to show you things that you never saw before. I'm going to make of you what you could never make of yourself. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go, through ups and downs, through sicknesses, through times of struggle. I will be with you. He even said at the close of Matthew, I will never leave you. Man, I'm going to tell you, even your best friend will leave you. Even your loved ones, they'll tell you, I got to go. My time has come. I got to get out of here. Amen. Sure do wish mom and daddy was here, but they're not here. But guess who is here? Guess who walks with you? Guess who talks with you and tells you that he is, that you are his own? That's the Lord with you. And if God be for you, I just need about 10 folk know that say, if God be for you, who can be against you? You got to trust him. You got to trust him. Let me move right along. So we see the impact. The impact, if you don't follow Jesus, or if you just say, well, I'm just going to be a good church member. You cannot just be a good church member. At best, You can be Satan-directed, self-directed, or you can be crowd-directed. You can't be a good church member. You're just in there. But when you become a follower, something changes in your life. Now you're listening. Now you're paying attention. Now you're just not reading your Bible. You're getting instructions. Oh, does that sound good? So as you get instructions, now you know how. Okay, I used to do this, but now I'm going to do this because I'm a part of the kingdom. I used to live this way. Now I'm going to live this way because I'm a part of the kingdom. That's what it means to follow Christ. All right, let's go a little bit further along with this thing. Following Jesus, first of all, it's light. It's light. Isaiah 9, and I believe verse 2 says, those who sat in darkness have seen great light. In other words, when we bring in that scripture, and we will in a minute, we talk about Malachi, the son of righteousness. Jesus is the son of God. He's God's king, but he's also the son, S-U-N, of righteousness. Righteousness. Then the second thing we look at is life. In the Greek, they would call it Zoe. Some people are named Zoe, Z-O-E, and it means life of God. Life of God. God breathing into you. And then the last thing we find out is that when we follow Jesus, we have this thing called love. I wish people would stop saying, I love everybody. No, you don't. You love certain people. You want to love everybody, but you don't. Only way you can love everybody is to love God. Do you get me? I guess the young people said, do you feel me? I don't know. Joseph kind of looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, well, we're back. So you have these things operating in your life, the light of God, the life of God, and the love of God. You can't get it anywhere else. It's not sold in your local store. You can't sit in front of your TV and dial 1-800-GET-THIS. You cannot get it any other kind of way. You've got to follow Jesus in order for these things to happen in your life. Now, ask yourself this one question. Is this lacking in our world? Is light lacking in our world? Is life lacking in our world? People living but don't know why they're living. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 64. I'm glad to be alive. Amen, somebody. I know a whole lot of folk. And guess what I do when I pick up the paper? First page I go to, obituary. There you go. Check it out. See whether my name is there. You know what I'm saying? Life. And I don't, people say, why do you smile all the time? I could be wearing a frown. Amen. But because I've got something on the inside. Yeah. Working on the outside. Why am I going to walk around? First of all, if I walk around like that, I'm going to look at my shoes and say, you know what, God, thank you for my shoes. And if I walk and looking down, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you that I'm walking and not crawling. Does anybody see what I'm saying? So when you have this life, and then when you have this love, which really is the essence of life, it's all about relationships, folk. It's not how much money you make in this world, but it's about relationships. I owe you a debt of respect. And the best way to pay that debt of respect is to love you. If I love you, I'm going to respect you. If I love you, I'm not going to say, well, what can I take from you? What can I rock? No. I'm walking in love even as he walked. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me give you a couple scriptures back this up. Am I talking too fast? Yeah, y'all pulling it out of me. All right. So here's the verse we talked about in Malachi 4:2. Before Jesus came, and this was the last of what we call the prophets. He was a minor prophet, but he had a major message. And he said, to you that fear him, to you that respect his coming, to you who are looking forward. You know, some of you all are too, how do I put, cityfied? Us country folk, what we would do is we would wait for the sunrise. Any country folk in here? You know, when you get up, well, sun come up, let me get up. It does something to you, right? City folk, you know, they just kind of, And I'm sorry to just, I ain't hating on city folk, all right? All right, Bev, I ain't hating on city folk, all right? I'm just saying. But when you grow up in the country, and we would have what we call power outages in the country, no big deal. Man, you get that old kerosene lamp, and next thing you know, you got light. People freaking out, and then you had that old wood stove. I mean, no problem. We ain't have air conditioning anyway, so you ain't worry about it. People said, what about the plumbing? You haven't been in the country, all right? Talking about the toilet don't work. We had an outdoor toilet, all right? It worked all the time. Yeah, okay, all right. We're back. Just want to let you know. But see, here's the thing about God's kingdom, the wonderful thing about God's kingdom. None of us know how to live right. Whether you're city or country, whether you're rich or poor, none of us know how to live right until someone gives us instructions. And when God sent the instructor, he didn't just send someone, you know, just anybody. He sent the Son, S-U-N. Like when you turn your face to the eastern sky and you watch that sun come up, that sun is not bashful. That sun will tell you, my job is to shine. Now, I know. The earth rotates. Somebody, a science student in here, saying, wait a minute, you know, the earth is really rotating. I know that. But it's the equivalent of a sunrise. And when Jesus walked on the shores of those nations and was near Capernaum, that coastal city, when he walked, there was a light about him, a glow of God. Now watch this. If you're walking in the light as he is in the light, people are going to start looking at you and say, wait a minute, you got this glow about you. How many of y'all have, you know you're a Christian, right? You know you're a Christian, no doubt about it. But you've gone somewhere and you didn't want to be really identified as a Christian. You just wanted to chill out. Then won't nobody know you remember Crossroads. All right, so you just want to chill out. Not that you're going to do bad stuff, but you don't want to live up to that holy expectation. I just want to be me today. I'm going to have a me day. And somebody come up to you and say, wait a minute, something different about you. Did you go to Crossroads? Are you a Christian? Gotcha. You cannot hide the light when you've been in the sun. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. Quit trying to hide it. If you look at the sun, I know it'll blind you. You can't look at it too long. But if you look at the sun, even for a couple of seconds, and then close your eyes, turn away from it, that sun leaves a burning image in your life. Now your vision has been impacted because of the sun. Second thing about it, Jesus said, I've come that I might be life. Matter of fact, he said in John 1:12, I've come that you might have life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John, the writer, says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. People want to live. Even those people who choose the unfortunate outcome of committing suicide, they really want to live. They just don't like the pressure of what they're living in. And my advice, my word to those who are thinking about, well, my life is not valued. Wait a minute. Maybe not in this kingdom. Maybe not in this world. Maybe people will put you down here. But I know somebody. I know a man who will give you life and will give it more abundantly. Please consider what I'm saying, that it is God who gives us life and God who gives you a reason for living. So I tell people, don't take your own life. My mama used to put it this way. I mean, we never had a problem thinking about that. And if we did, she would say, well, you're going to die soon enough anyway. What do you want to rush it for? Then she had another one, Miss Cablet said, if life don't kill you, don't kill yourself. Amen. You know, so we did pretty good. You know what? I'm almost out of time. I got to run on this. Last one. Say this with me. Love is of God. For God is love. Say that again. Love is of God. For God is love. Now, if love originates, if love comes from God, and if what God is emitting is love for us, obviously he is, because for God so loved the world that he gave his very best, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If God was willing to do that, then God is the God of love. So when you enter into the kingdom, you can't say, well, I don't want to love everybody. Now, granted, you don't have the capacity in yourself. But when you're following him, something transformed your life. Even the folk that you couldn't stand them. I just can't stand them. Yeah, that's what we say, right? Now, all of a sudden, God gives you a heart of compassion for them. Let me tell you what the Lord will do to test the love that you got in you. Remember those folk that you don't really care a whole lot for? He'll bring them down your pathway. Y'all ever notice that happen? Folks that you can't stand at work, you know, he'll bring them down your pathway. And not only will he bring them down your pathway, God will show you a need in their life, and then God will tell you, do it. Well, that's not the Lord talking to me. Yes, it is. Excuse me. Yes, it is. Do you want him to call you louder? If you're a child of God, if you're one that belongs to him, if you're following him, you can't avoid loving. Love is not a noun only, it's a verb. It's a verb. You can't say you got it unless you're doing it. Amen? All right, very quickly, what do we want to get out of this? I'm closing with this. Number one, are you a spiritual hitchhiker or a helper? You know what hitchhikers do? I'm just going along for the ride. I got somebody in my car one day, and I picked him up, and I've transformed my life. I don't longer pick up hitchhikers. I wave at them. Person got in the car, Brother Mac, he asked me, I said, where are you going? He said, where are you going? I said to myself, this is going to be a long trip here. But the spiritual hitchhikers in Jesus' time were the multitudes following him. At one point, Jesus said, you're only following me because I did the miracle of the bread and the fish. You just want a picnic. But for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're not satisfied with a picnic. We want something that is real. So what we want to do is say, okay, Lord, let me join this thing. Let me be a helper. When Jesus was calling the disciples, he said, now I want you to come alongside and be a part of this program called the Kingdom of God. I want you to be involved. Our church, we can only fulfill our mission as a church when we become helpers and not just hitchhikers. We don't go along with the trip. Now, listen, all of us don't have the same gifts and abilities. No one expects you to do that. But if everybody did what they could or did as God directed them, man, you're talking about a mighty church. You're talking about awesome church. We would have it. Second thing we got to look at, rather than it being a me ministry, it's got to become a we. Well, I just came to church to get ministered to. I just came to church because to get my needs met. Well, wait a minute. What if you get out of church and you got a whole loaf of bread and you meet somebody who's starving? You mean to tell me you're so stingy that you can't break off a piece of bread and give to somebody? And I can't get this. There are people that have signs in the back of their car and say, I love my dog, but you don't love your neighbor.
Amen.
Excuse me for saying that. All right, now I'm back poised. I'm dignified. Okay. But it blows my mind how that there are people that can segment whole groups of people love animals more than they love somebody else. And I can tell you one thing, God's going to judge it. So in order to move into this thing, it's got to be a we ministry. We minister. Very quickly, here's how we do it. Here's how we do it. Number one, minister to others. If you want to know how God can work through your life, start helping somebody else.
Amen.
Go visit a homeless shelter and start giving them food.
Amen.
All you got to do is just here's your plate. Here's your cup of water. You know what? God's going to bless you. Thank God for the givers. They hit me up to a program downtown in Lynchburg, right here in Lynchburg.
Yes. Yes.
Right here in Lynchburg. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Some of your homeless folk.
Yes.
Notice I said your homeless folk. Amen. Members of this church. Well, wait a minute. We didn't know about it because you weren't looking. Lord have mercy. This man is preaching up in here.
Yes.
When you start looking, you're going to see a whole bunch of stuff. Second thing is make disciples. Don't create spiritual invalids. Or as I used to, when I used to say that word, first time I pronounced, I said invalids. Either way, it works. You don't want to create crippled people. You want to give them the ability to do what they can. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of men, teach them what you know, show them what you've got, and watch God transform their life. And then lastly, move people. Move people. What are you moving from, preacher? You're moving them out of darkness into the light. And all you got to do is give them Jesus and then watch Jesus. It's like a light switch. You know, I go and I hit the light switch in my house, and assuming I paid the bill, guess what happens when I hit the light switch? That light's going to come on. Now, if I didn't pay my bill, well, we got another problem. My wife didn't pay the light bill. She ain't here, so I can say that. So what we've got to do is we've got to become these people who go over to folk, give them Jesus, and all you're doing when you give them Jesus, you're turning on a light switch.
Amen.
Well, what if it doesn't work at the first? You know what? It's not my job to get on the inside of them and make them do it. It's my job to give it to them.
Amen.
To create that spiritual appetite.
Amen.
To let them know that God is real.
Right.
That God is a way maker. That he brings us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Ladies and gentlemen, if we did these things, if we ministered to others, if we made disciples, and if we would let them know that God is real, you know what? The whole world would start transforming. Right before our eyes, all because we did one simple thing, and that is follow Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody stand. I'm not finished preaching, but I'm done. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace. It's not our goodness that we follow you, but your grace. Your grace. Used to be on Sunday mornings, we wouldn't even think about going to church somewhere with a hangover because we hung out. But God, thank you that we're in the house of the Lord. Thank you that our life is transformed. Thank you that you love us enough. And Lord, if you loved us, who else do you want to love through us as we become followers of you? Thank you for convicting us. Help us now that we might serve. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open the doors of the church if there be one today. If you're not a follower of Christ, or if you said, well, preacher, I want to put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. The Lord will do it. He'll save you. He'll bring you out of darkness. Maybe you're not a member of a church and you desire to be a part of our fellowship at this church. I know they got a crazy preacher down here, but other than that, I think everything pretty good. Everything pretty good. Amen. So if that's your desire today, we invite you to come. There be one. Doors of the church are open.